This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Tropical storm Claudette picked up strength overnight and is now the first hurricane of the 2003 season. She's now bearing down on the Texas coastline, albeit a bit slowly. Meteorologist Chris Jukins with the National Hurricane Center in Miami says Claudette's winds are 75 miles an hour now, and the storm is moving west at about 12 miles an hour.
So it has picked up its forward speed just a bit, and if it continues this motion as we expect, it will be on shore late this afternoon, early this evening, near Corpus Christi or the central Texas coastline.
Claudette is a Category 1 hurricane now, and Jukins says that means residents can expect coastal flooding, tides 3 to 5 feet above normal, and up to 8 inches of rain is also likely. Democrats continue calling President Bush's credibility into question in the ongoing controversy over pre-war claims about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. On NBC's Today Show earlier, Massachusetts Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy called the Bush administration's Iraq strategy a, quote, failed policy.
Well, the great tragedy would be that American servicemen are risking and losing their lives in Iraq based upon flawed, distorted, and failed intelligence.
But Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby was also on the show, and he suggested Democrats are using the issue simply for political gain.
I believe the Bush administration has been forthright with the American people. This is political season. You've got a presidential race coming up, and I think you've got to look at things as what they are and look at the political reasons.
Back in January's State of the Union address, President Bush said Iraq had tried to buy uranium in Africa. That turned out to be information from a forged document. CIA Director George Tenet has taken responsibility for the flap, and he's expected to be grilled by lawmakers later this week. And Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan is signaling he's ready to cut interest rates yet again if he thinks it's necessary to boost the still-struggling economy. In testimony he's prepared for Congress, Greenspan says he is ready to keep U.S. interest rates low for a, quote, considerable period of time to lift the ailing economy.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if a girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Charges against the so-called 20th September 11th hijacker may be thrown out. Federal prosecutors are refusing a judge's orders to give Zakarias Moussaoui access to a suspected al-Qaeda commander in U.S. custody. Moussaoui claims he can prove he wasn't involved in the attacks if he's allowed to speak with Ramzi Ben El-Sheib. Prosecutors say allowing the two men to talk could endanger national security. A former U.S. Marine may have taken a preteen girl he met on the Internet to France. British police say 31-year-old Toby Studebaker flew from Detroit to England and picked up the 12-year-old girl he'd been emailing for some time. From there, police claim they flew to France.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts. Because if you find yourself in a lot of stop-and-go traffic, chances are your vehicle could use some new brake pads. And Napa application-engineered brake pads meet or exceed original equipment specifications and safety standards. This is the good stuff. They stop your vehicle a full 20 feet shorter than other leading brands. So, if it's been a while since you changed your brake pads, make sure you get to Napa.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
The United States says it has, quote, deep concern over a recent report claiming North Korea has finished reprocessing spent fuel rods for nuclear weapons. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher told reporters yesterday the channel for talks between the U.S. and North Korea remain open despite tensions over possible nuclear capabilities.
We've said repeatedly that any attempt by them to reprocess, to recover plutonium, to make more progress on the way to nuclear weapons would be a matter of deep concern to us and as well, I think, concern to others in the region who have made that clear as well.
Boucher would not discuss any actual details of that report. The U.S. believes North Korea may have one or two nuclear weapons already and enough material to make another six. And the team studying the February Space Shuttle Columbia disaster says it could happen again. The New York Times is reporting today the draft put together by the RAND Corporation for the Columbia Accident Investigation Board says because of the uncertainty of exactly what caused the loss of Columbia and concerns about the aging fleet, the shuttles will lose their usefulness before their retirement date in 2020. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Remember Bill Cosby's classic comedy routine called What is Air? Funny. But the potential danger of airbags to children is no laughing matter. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X. Protection you can see.
The lives airbags save give us something to smile about. But risk of injury to children has been a concern. Now, NEC's Seat Sentry may make that a worry of the past. Based on electric field sensing technology, this system uses very low-level electric fields to detect the presence of a body as well as its height and proximity to the airbag, then prevents deployment when that body is too small or too close. Kudos to Seat Sentry for its performance in saving children's lives. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to our program. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program, broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations all around North America, from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, broadcasting live on the internet from radiopower.org and www.ieamericaradio.com, and archived at whiterosesociety.org. Memorializing dedicated to the memory of those extraordinary young men and women who fought against Hitler, mostly in the colleges and universities of Germany in the 1940s, and were almost without exception put to death in grisly, horrific fashions, the White Rose Society. Anyhow, welcome to our program today. We're calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on. And in the context of that, I'd like to get into what were the notions of the founding of this country. And talk a little bit today about the Boston Tea Party, about what is empire, what the history of the United States is, what direction we're going right now, why all these issues around weapons of mass destruction in Iraq are not just important and not just contemporary, but in a sense timeless, that they define larger issues that have to do with what kind of a nation we are, what kind of a vision the founders had for this country, and for that matter, and I hope we have time to get into this, what kind of vision even the ancient Greeks had when they came up with the idea that it was possible in a civilization that for thousands of years, all the way back to Gilgamesh and Iraq 7,000 years ago, that for these thousands of years had always been ruled historically by theocrats or kings or the feudal states by the local rich. And was it possible that there could be rule of, by, and for we the people? On this day in history, July 15th, Rembrandt was born today in the Netherlands. If you ever have a chance to get over to Europe, go to Holland, first of all, the Netherlands. It is just one of the most extraordinary countries on earth. And go to the Rijksmuseum. And there they have the Night Watch, this incredible painting by Rembrandt that is, I don't know the dimensions, just from memory, I would say 6 or 7 feet tall, maybe 8 feet tall, and probably 15 feet wide, something like that. It's huge. And it's on this wall, and as you walk by it, there's this one guy in the middle who has his hand out, and he's looking right at you. And it seems like his hand and his eyes move. I mean, the depth, the art. It's just mind-boggling. And then you can also go over to the Van Gogh Museum, Van Gogh, where they have his work. You can walk these three floors as one long kind of spiral, and they have his works organized chronologically, so you can watch as he gets progressively more and more mad and see how his paintings became just wilder and wilder. Today in 1881, Billy the Kid was killed. Interesting date, on this day in 1912, the British National Health Insurance Act went into effect. Everybody in England has had health insurance since 1912. We're still arguing about it. Today, Barry Goldwater was nominated for president by the Republicans. They've sure changed that. It's going to be on 9/11 this year, or the week thereof. And in 1991, on this date, U.S. troops left northern Iraq. Now, also a reminder for the Iraqi people about this date. On this date in 1099, the Muslim citizens of Jerusalem surrendered their cities to the armies of the First Crusade. The first Christian crusaders from Europe had their first major victory, 1099. The Muslims gave up Jerusalem. The crusaders then proceeded to massacre thousands of unarmed men, women, and children. And to this day, folks in the Middle East have been looking at us in the Americas and Europe, you know, what they refer to as the West, with this kind of jaundiced eye, saying, well, we remember. And they do remember. Got an email from Steve Korick in Chicago. He says, low and middle income taxpayers nationwide, the bottom 60% will receive an average of $350 over the next 4 years, or less than $100 per year from this tax cut. But nationwide, I'm not sure the study that this came from, that he sent it, CTJ.org. And nationwide, the wealthiest 1% of Americans will receive on average a total of $96,634 in tax cuts over the next 4 years. So things are looking good for those who make more than $350,000 a year in the new Bush empire. And does empire ever work? Our question for the day, does empire ever work? Before I get into that, the Messiah has spoken. The man who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, alive today on earth, walking around now, explicitly has said he is the reincarnation of Jesus Christ and has thousands of followers who believe it. Reverend Moon. In his newspaper, The Washington Times, which is the only newspaper read by the Bush White House, has laid out the new talking points, the new strategy for the way this administration is going to deal with this small problem that is going to come up on Thursday of Tony Blair showing up and George Bush having said that Tony Blair told him that those nasty Iraqis were looking for uranium in Africa, but Tony Blair wouldn't tell him why or, you know, where the intelligence came from. Well, it turns out, according to an article by Michael Smith in the Washington Times, Michael Smith, either a follower of the new Messiah or an employee of, most likely, it seems, certainly published by, and I quote, the French Secret Service is believed to have refused to allow Britain's MI6 to give the United States credible intelligence showing that Iraq was trying to buy uranium ore from Niger, U.S. intelligence sources said yesterday. In other words, blame it on the French. It's got to be the French who did it. That, you know, it's U.S. intelligence sources. Michael Smith goes on to say, U.S. intelligence sources believe the most likely source of the MI6 intelligence was the French Secret Service, the DGSE. Niger is a former French colony, and its uranium mines are run by a French company that comes under the control of the French Atomic Energy Commission. So as I've been saying all along here, this is not about 16 words any more than for the conservatives. Bill Clinton's 8 words, I did not have sex with that woman, any more than it was about that. They were using those 8 words to try and go after a guy that they thought was morally, politically, whatever, wrong for the nation. And I think they really believed that Bill Clinton was a bad guy and was wrong for the nation, and they were trying to get rid of him, and they were using whatever they could. And there are people who think that George Bush is wrong for the nation. I mean, let's just say it right up front. You know, Sean Hannity is like foaming at the mouth about the, oh, it's a partisan. Sure, of course. The Democrats are going to use whatever tools are given them to bash the Republicans, just like the Republicans will use whatever tools are given them to bash the Democrats. That's all real. We can't deny that. And at the same time, there is a larger issue. And that larger issue is it really true that this administration has been consistently, on small things and large, lying to the American people, calling a program to increase the amount of toxic emissions into the atmosphere the Clear Skies Initiative? I mean, all of this Orwellian news speak. The list is just extraordinary. We've chronicled so many of them here on this program. And is that the larger issue? The Scotsman today. The Scotsman is a marvelous little newspaper. It's one of those kind of New York Post-sized newspapers published in Scotland. One of the more progressive publications over there. I was in Scotland this spring and enjoyed reading the Scotsman every morning. They say, in today's edition, France is expected to be blamed for the split between the CIA and MI6 on the grounds that Paris intelligence agencies shared hard evidence with Britain but refused to show it to the U.S. Aides to both the Prime Minister and George Bush, the U.S. President, are anxious to draw a line under the dispute before Thursday, when Mr. Blair is due to address a joint session of the U.S. Congress. So I predict this, you know, they're going to blame it on the French. They're going to say, see, it was no big deal. See, it wasn't a lie. And try to completely cover up the fact that we've got hundreds of Americans who have died, thousands who have been wounded. Today is day 117 of the search for weapons of mass destruction. And all of this was done in the name of defending the United States against an imminent threat, a danger so great, we had to commit half our army. Now, that's been the argument. This administration has been saying, there was these weapons of mass destruction. Well, maybe we got it wrong, but we thought there were these weapons of mass destruction. I think the larger issue here is one that Alan Murray brings up in today's Wall Street Journal in his Political Capital column. Alan Murray is the Washington bureau chief of CNBC and co-host of the Capital Report, which airs on Tuesday through Friday at 9 p.m. on CNBC. And his article talks about empire. He talks about this organization called the Committee for the Republic. Now, you probably have never heard of this before, but you're going to start hearing about it. Its 5 sponsors include, according to Alan Murray, include C. Boyden Gray, a conservative White House lawyer in the first Bush administration, Charles Freeman, the former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia, and Stephen Cohen, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. And what these guys are saying, essentially, is, do we want an empire? I mean, let's have a discussion about it. There's those on the right who are proposing empire. Those are on the left who are proposing empire. But the question, do we want empire, is not much being raised. Let's get into that today. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know, you ought to check your credit report.
But I just don't have time.
I have to clean out the garage.
And take the kids to the doctor.
And balance my checkbook.
And take the dog to the vet. And mow the lawn.
And do the grocery shopping. And come back.
Stop. If you haven't checked your credit report, there's a fast, easy solution. Log on to freecreditreport.com and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. And get 30 days of our credit check monitoring service free. So don't say,
I'm just too busy.
Log on to freecreditreport.com today.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens, Good Day, from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I wanna be just like my president. I wanna make more money than I can spend. I wanna build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American
Welcome to the new American century. Thanks to Sputnik Weasel. Copyright 2003 for that
performance.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number. 1-800-825-5937. We're just beginning to get into a discussion here of empire. What does it mean? What's the history of it? John from Springfield, Missouri is on the line. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, good morning, Tom. I was just listening to you, and I got to, you know, I was working at the same time, and I have to make sure that my ears weren't deceiving me. Did you just say that the British are going to claim that they got the information from the French and then passed
yes.
it along to the Americans?
Hey, well, and that they didn't pass it along to the Americans because there's a protocol among Secret Service agencies that we can, you know, I could, my country can tell your country that we know something, but if your country wants to tell a third country, we can say, you can tell them that you know about it, but you can't pass along our evidence of it.
Gee.
So the French, apparently, according to the way this is going to be spun out, is that the French were upset with or didn't trust the Bush administration.
No kidding.
And therefore didn't want to share their intelligence information with the Bush administration. One theory is that it's because they were upset with the Bush administration. They just didn't want to cooperate. The other theory is that they were afraid that the Bush administration might compromise their sources and their intelligence sources on the ground in Niger would be at risk.
I can't exactly blame them. You know what I, all of a sudden came to my mind is a bunch of the CIA, MI6, and the French, they're a bunch of babushkas. They sit around a table and gossip among each other. And, you know, these are our vaunted intelligence services that we spend billions of dollars on. Listen, I tell you what, if we're going to use French information, I have a contact person for them, Tom.
Okay.
And the name of the contact person is Inspector Clouseau.
Yes. Well, you know, yeah, John, I got it. And thanks for that.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. We sent our own former U.S. ambassador under the first Bush administration over to Niger to check this out, and he came back and told Dick Cheney that it wasn't so. And I think increasingly you're going to discover that the fingers in this are going to be pointing back toward Cheney, not toward Bush or Rumsfeld, but that he's the one that is being protected and covered up. But time will tell. 1-800-TALK, yes, David in Santa Fe. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. We've got about a minute and a half left, I think, here.
Yeah, I agree with
you.
Cheney will take the blame, and then he'll get out of there and he'll cash out for a couple $100 million from Halliburton. But I think the Republicans are much better at lying.
They can
lie about getting us into a war that costs us billions of dollars and that costs us thousands of lives, and there'll be no impeachment. But Bill lies about a consensual sexual act, and he is impeached. But I think we need to focus on what God said in 1980. I mean, Ronald Reagan. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Are we better off economically? Are we better off as far as security? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. And I think the conventional wisdom, David, has been that the next election is going to boil down to it's the economy, stupid. In fact, that's going to be the topic of one of our show segments tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And there is in today's either the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, there was an article in today's paper about how now people are starting to think maybe for the first time in a long, long time that the next presidential election might actually spin on foreign policy, and it might spin back on George Bush, because that's what he's trying to do, is he's trying to spin it forward on foreign policy. Same thing his father tried to do, and it didn't work, of course, because domestic policy trumped it. Anyhow, David, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
It's another kick in the teeth for union employees at United Airlines, only 2 months after United's unions voted to accept billions of dollars in wage and benefit cuts to help the airline stay in the sky. United Management has announced a bonus plan for the company's information technology staff. According to the plan, some 600 people would be paid up to 20% of their salaries as a bonus once the company is fully restructured. United says it's trying to head off a brain drain of IT workers. The Association of Flight Attendants calls the bonus plan a slush fund for mid-level managers.
The Bush administration unveils new changes to U.S. pension rules today that critics charge could lead to greater volatility among retirement funds. Previously, corporations were required to use the interest rates associated with a 30-year U.S. Treasury bond when predicting the future value of their pension obligations. The Bush plan would allow companies to predict future earnings using corporate bond rates, which are typically higher. As a result, corporate pension liabilities would appear lower on paper, meaning that companies would be required to contribute less to pension funds. Christian Weller of the Economic Policy Institute worries the Bush plan could speed the demise of traditional defined benefit plans.
In a surprise move, the Nigerian Labor Congress has ended a 9-day general strike, which led to riots in the streets of Nigeria's major cities, leaving at least 10 strikers dead and dozens wounded. The NLC says the government has agreed to partially repeal the hike in fuel prices, which spurred the strike. And while the reduction isn't as much as they'd hoped for, the disruption and danger caused by the walkout has become more harmful to the people than the government. Several Nigerian labor leaders were swept up by police during the strike, and many remain detained, their whereabouts unknown, and may remain in detention until after President Bush's visit to the country on Friday.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Of us. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Does empire ever work? As Alan Murray was pointing out in today's Political Capital column in the Wall Street Journal, those on the right, are the neocons, are suggesting that empire is a good thing. That, in fact, you could say up until the last couple of years, nobody even used the word empire. But now, senior advisor to British Prime Minister Tony Blair has called for a new kind of imperialism. And Max Boot, on the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, said right after 9/11, quote, Afghanistan and other troubled lands today cry out for the sort of enlightened foreign administration once provided by self-confident Englishmen in jodhpurs and pith helmets, end quote. William Crystal on Fox Television recently said, if people want to say we're an imperial power, fine. So, you know, they point out a decade ago, if you'd said you were in favor of imperialism, you were like taking the sides of the bad guys in the Star Wars movies. You know, the Empire Strikes Back. We're against the Empire word. But now, so on the right, you've got this. And then we've got the folks on the left as well, who, according to this article, are suggesting that we should also have empire, but it should be a multilateral empire. That is, rather than having an empire ruled exclusively by the United States or any one nation, we should have an empire ruled by the United Nations, sort of a collective empire. But that still there should be this one tutelary, vast, powerful, ruling entity. And this Committee for the Republic, in their draft manifesto, they say, the American Revolution was a nationalist revolt against the British Empire. Our country was born as a defiant rejection of the legitimacy of empire. They talk about the inevitable costs of empire, and they say, and I quote, domestic liberty is the first casualty of adventurous foreign policy. And then they go on to say, to justify the high cost of maintaining rule over foreign territories and peoples, leaders are left with no choice but to deceive the people. And this is, I think this is going to really raise some eyebrows. I hope so. I hope it raises a discussion. I agree with Alan Murray on this, that the whole issue of empire is one that needs to be revisited. Empires typically, if you look back in history, empires typically have been generated for the purpose of advancing the interests of a relatively small, very powerful, very wealthy ruling class. And we see, for example, in Iraq, in today's Wall Street Journal, after months of delay, the contracts are intended, they're talking about a new contract, the headline is, New U.S. Oil Contracts in Iraq Raise Questions. After months of delay, the contracts are intended to replace the controversial no-bid reconstruction contract given to Halliburton before the war with Iraq began. Now, listen to this sentence. I mean, this is the Wall Street Journal. This is the right-wingers talking to themselves actually are much more candid. It's interesting, much more candid with themselves than you would find, for example, in the New York Times. The article by Susan Warren, New U.S. Oil Contracts in Iraq Raise Questions, in today's Wall Street Journal, and I quote, the Halliburton contract has drawn allegations of cronyism because Vice President Dick Cheney led the company before resigning to run for election. And then they talk in the article about how the kind of bizarre nature of these new contracts that are being put out, that they may be as little as $500 million, they may be billions of dollars, maybe as little, as $500,000, as much as $500 million, and that nobody's sure if they should include Iraqi contractors or not, the bloody, bloody, blah. Meanwhile today, Iran, the next-door neighbor of Iraq, and the other member in that region of the Axis of Evil, has made a major new oil find. 38 billion barrels in a new oil field. This is a big chunk of oil. This is huge. I mean, this is Saudi Arabia has about 70 billion. This is 38 billion in one oil field. And it's, you know, is this, so we have empire being done for the goal of the local rich guys. Our quote for the day goes back to another day of empire. Christopher Columbus in 1503 wrote a letter to the King and Queen of Spain in which he said, gold is most excellent. Gold constitutes treasure. And he who has it does all he wants in the world and can even lift souls up to paradise. Columbus, his arrival in the United States, you know, when our ships were to leave for Spain, this is a reading from the letter of Cueno, who was on the boat with Christopher Columbus, after they got to Haiti and met with the Tiano Indians. He says, when our ships were to leave for Spain, we gathered 1,600 male and female persons of these Indians, and of those we embarked in our ships in February 17, 1495. For those who remained, we let it be known to the Spaniards who manned the island's fort in the vicinity that anyone who wanted to take some of them could do so to the amount desired, which was done. Cueno further notes that he himself took a beautiful teenage Carib girl as his personal slave, a gift from Columbus himself, but when he attempted to have sex with her, she, quote, resisted with all her strength, so, in his own words, quote, he thrashed her mercilessly and raped her, end quote. I'm reading from The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. And in there is this whole history of Columbus, and this was the beginning of the Spanish Empire. Columbus in Haiti, but even in larger stead, Spanish conquistadors all across the southern part of Central America and South America, spreading disease as they went. But they actually staked out the archaeological digs. That is, the enormous amounts of gold artifacts that they found. They actually considered them mining claims. They set up smelting operations, melted this stuff down, sent local tax officials from Spain over there so they could impose a 20% tax on anybody who was mining gold, that is, taking the artifacts of the Mayans and Incans, and shipped that gold as bullions back to Spain and built an empire for Spain, again, to the benefit of the small number of very wealthy people, the beginning of that empire. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 825-5937. Our question, does empire ever work? Jim in Atlanta, what do you think?
Hello?
Hey, Jim.
Hey.
Welcome to the program.
Yes, how are you today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Doing real good. Listen, I hope I'm going to try and make some sense here, but I may not. I was doing some reading in the Progressive Populist newspaper this weekend, and I ran across an article about and I don't recall the name of it, but it was about the ship landing when Bush landed on the aircraft carrier,
mm-hmm.
and also the when he made a speech in front of Mount Rushmore, I think, and then he also did something, I believe, at the Statue of Liberty. He
right.
did, you know, all these big big production things. And these were all produced by a guy that's a member of the administration now. But he used to be a producer for Fox News.
Ah.
And then also, I thought that was kind of ironic. And then also Roger Ailes, you know, he was in the Nixon, Reagan, and Bush, and the Bush administrations, and he has no journalistic or production experience at all in TV. But now he runs Fox News,
mm-hmm.
and I read something that was that I didn't know. You may have already known this, but did you know that he is the producer of Rush Limbaugh Show?
He was.
Okay.
He's not anymore.
Then he
produced it when it was a TV show.
By the name of Tom Hicks. You know, and he used to be one of Bush's business partners, and now he's part owner in Fox. And so wondering.
Clear Channel, actually, isn't it?
Right. Well, right. And
yeah,
you know, and I'm just
network.
Wondering, maybe the next step from the Bush administration, maybe we should be watching Fox News and Rupert Murdoch. Maybe that's how we're going to get we're going to find out what's going to be next. And, you know, it really curious here that, that George Bush. Did you know that George Bush was on the board of directors of Clear Channel? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I found that out this weekend too. And there's just a big, huge connection here to this, you know, Rupert Murdoch, Clear Channel, Bush family. There's just too much connection here, and.
Mm.
And so, you know, when you're talking about propaganda models and you're looking at pushing an agenda through in the use of the media, to me it looks like it's pretty much a given fact that Fox News is their propaganda machine.
Yeah.
And,
well, in fact, I was gonna get into this a little later on. I've been doing these Berlusconi alerts. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but for months now, you know, and whenever Silvio Berlusconi is in the news. Yeah, he's the prime minister of Italy, and he was basically a small-time businessman who engaged in a bunch of shady deals. He had a couple of businesses that were failing. He got bailed out by his friends. He got in with what some allege is the mafia. Bribed some judges, apparently, in the 1980s. That's what he's being charged with right now in court. One of his business partners just was sentenced to 11 years in prison for bribing these judges. And built an empire, built a business empire, bought a TV station, bought a TV network, bought another TV network, built a third TV network, bought a fourth TV network, built a fifth of the seven television networks, depending on how you find networks. Some of them are pretty small, but of the seven television networks in Italy, one is owned by the Italian government. It's sort of the equivalent of BBC. and the others are all owned by Berlusconi. One guy owns all of them. He owns 90% of the media, of the electronic media, radio stations, television stations. He reaches 90% of the media in Italy. And then he runs his party, because you can't run for prime minister. You run your party, and if you get enough of members of your party in parliament, then they elect you as prime minister. So then he runs his party for national office, and he gets so many of his guys elected that they make him prime minister. And now it's starting to come out, you know, that the guy's a crook, basically. And for 6 months, they can't prosecute him because now he's the president of the European Union, and he just embarrassed himself terribly, or Italy anyway, last week with that. But one of the reasons that I keep wanting to sensitize Americans to this Berlusconi situation is that the potential for this, with this guy who used to be an Australian citizen and then is now an American citizen, Rupert Murdoch, is so, in my opinion, so frighteningly similar. On Alternet, there's an article published yesterday from The Nation, Jeffrey Chester, The Nation, Murdoch's extended reach. And let me just read you a couple of pieces out of it. For unless swift action is taken, Murdoch and the conservative political causes he supports will soon become an even more powerful presence in the United States and the world. He's on the cusp of fulfilling a long-standing ambition that will finally give him a global network of powerful, orbiting, interactive, direct broadcast satellites. Imagine a torrential downpour of dozens of Fox News channels targeting major U.S. cities, a super broadband site continuously promoting the viewpoints of the Weekly Standard, and the ability to focus similar political messages simultaneously in Asia, Europe, North, and South America. Quoting from Jeffrey Chester's article in The Nation. This is what Murdoch is trying to pull off right now. GM, which owns Hughes Electronics, which big satellite company, has and owns DirecTV, has been basically saying no to Murdoch for a couple of years. And Murdoch did this whole long deal, and this is all chronicled in here with in fact, pieces of it are talked about in the Wall Street Journal. Hired New York State Attorney General Robert Abrams, a former Attorney General, to do this battle, to basically get everybody out of the way. So now nobody can compete with Fox to buy Hughes from GM, and so it looks like Fox is prepared to do it. And again, to quote the article, Murdoch will become one of the most powerful forces in television because of the massive distribution platform it controls. News Corp will be able to create new national programming channels. Satellite channel technology will allow Fox to spot beam local channels into distinct communities. So he has the potential to essentially put out of business ABC, CBS, NBC, everybody, and do a Berlusconi. He can become the major networks in America, and the only thing that would prevent him are the antitrust laws and the FCC regulations that prohibit this. And this administration has essentially said that they're going to go along with this. They're going to let this happen. So Jim, have I made your dreams any better, or?
I also heard that Murdoch has a big channel in China now, and
yeah,
that he's beaming down on China.
Yeah, Star Satellite, and he cut a deal with the Chinese where he wouldn't carry programming that they objected to, which was BBC, as I recall.
Well, I also, and he agree with the government or something or another that he would have a channel or something in Iraq, and then they were going to be broadcasting Fox News in Iraq?
I don't know.
Heard that.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. It scares me to no end to know that this guy could be really the driving force behind our government.
Mm.
And you know, and it's a scary thing. I mean, you know, this guy owns Reader's Digest. My grandmother read Reader's Digest. You know, I mean, his fingers go in all facets of society, and that just scares the life out of me.
The New York Post, you know, on and on it goes. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a very significant concern, and this is one of the reasons. And see, this is, and Jim, thank you for that call.
Okay.
I appreciate your sharing that. This is one of the issues that comes along with empire. And that is that empire has a voice. You have the I forget the Latin phrase for it. It's been 40 years, but there's a Rex something or other. There is the voice of the emperor, the voice of the empire, and it can't be denied. And one of the essential components of empire is maintaining control of that voice. We're going to get into some of the details of how they're doing that as we move along in the program. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned to the Tom Hartman program. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away. Between five, look at the horses. About 50, I have to go to the bathrooms. And one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
Call 1-800-800-8000 or visit super8.com. All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding me? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah!
Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
A stick, a stone, it's the end of the road. It's the rest of a stump, it's a little alone. It's a sliver of glass, it is light, it's the sun. It is night, it is death, it's a trap, it's a gun. The oak when it blooms, a fox in the brush. The knot of the wood, the song of a thrush. The wood of the wind, a cliff.
Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. In our chat room, Agra Rab says, Empire Sparta gone, Athens gone, Rome gone, the Huns gone, Holy Roman Empire gone, British Empire gone, Persian Empire gone, Turkish Empire gone. Need more? Yeah, good point there. By the way, the chat room, if you want to get to it, go to TomHartmanShow.com on the web and just click on the chat link. It'll take you to the trade forum and CompuServe. Click on the chat button and it'll drop you into the chat room. Some great folks there and always interesting conversations. And, yeah, Agra. The collapse of the Mesopotamian Empire paved the way for the rise of Greece as a worldwide empire in the late Bronze Age. This is 2000 BC. The Greeks adopted a widespread agricultural practice similar to the Mesopotamian system. And by the 13th century, this increased food supply had caused the Greeks to begin clearing huge tracts of their forest to provide living space, fuel, and croplands. They had so outstripped their fuel supply, which was wood, that at one point a bounty was offered to farmers to grow olive trees on the hillsides, as the desperate Greeks found that only olive trees could grow and hold the fragile steep slopes. But it was all too late, as Plato wrote in his Critias, what now remains compared with what then existed is like the skeleton of a sick man. All the fat and soft earth having wasted away, and only the bare framework of the land being left, end quote. And as the Greek Empire collapsed, the Roman Empire rose, as the Roman Empire had its own needs for wood. And by 200 BC, they had so stripped the land of forests, Italy of forests, that it caused a currency crisis. They could no longer afford to smelt silver. And so they had to build these ships and go off and conquer Europe. And on it went. We're going to get into empire here a little bit more. Stay with the Tom Hartman Program. We'll return in just a few moments.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Now Hurricane Claudette is closing in on Port O'Connor, Texas, a small fishing community between Corpus Christi and Houston. Correspondent Rory O'Neill has more on the storm and its path.
Just as Claudette was about to make landfall, its winds increased to near 80 miles per hour. Stephen Baig of the National Hurricane Center in Miami says it shouldn't grow much stronger.
There's just not enough time and open water for it to intensify very much more before it loses its energy source. But it's continuing to do so as it moves along.
The compact storm has hurricane force winds extending just 30 miles from the center, but tropical storm force winds can be felt nearly 200 miles away from the eye of Hurricane Claudette. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan says he is determined to keep interest rates low to help boost the still struggling economy. Testifying before a House panel earlier today, Greenspan said the Federal Open Market Committee is ready to keep U.S. interest rates low for a, quote, considerable period of time in an effort to lift the ailing economy as well as ward off the threat of a dangerous drop in prices.
The FOMC stands prepared to maintain a highly accommodative stance of policy for as long as needed to promote satisfactory economic performance.
Greenspan said in making his decision, he cited mixed signals, in his words, across the economic board, as well as the continued caution among businesses to invest in growth plans and create new jobs. U.S. forces today reportedly killed five Iraqis and ended up capturing another after they were ambushed just west of the capital, Baghdad. Captain Mark Miller, who was in charge of the ambushed unit, said they were making their way to an ammunition dump near Baghdad when they fell under fire. He said his men fought back and killed five of the attackers. There were no U.S. casualties reported. Miller said the attackers might have been expecting to take on Humvees, which are more lightly armored than the tank-like armor of the Bradleys.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours of back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss. There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
One Israeli settler is dead today and several more wounded following a knife attack at an Israeli restaurant. A Palestinian group connected to Yasser Arafat has claimed responsibility now for that attack. The latest violence is seen as just another threat to a recent truce, which is key to American hopes for an Israeli-Palestinian settlement. North Korea has the ingredients to produce atomic bombs. That's at least according to the New York Times, which is citing top U.S. officials who say North Korean higher-ups told the Bush administration last week their country now has produced enough plutonium to make about a half dozen nuclear bombs.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
New York City today was formally submitted to the International Olympic Committee as the U.S. candidate for hosting the 2012 Olympic Games. To mark the occasion, Mayor Michael Bloomberg hit one of the network television morning shows today. That story now from correspondent Lisa Romanello.
Mayor Bloomberg says the Big Apple is where the Olympics belong, and he's not worried about Vancouver's recent win for the 2010 Games.
There are plenty of cases where Summer and Winter Olympics were on the same continent.
Bloomberg told NBC's Today Show New York can do it better than other international contenders.
We have the advantage of the rivers and subways for transportation. We can put together all of the venues within a few square miles.
The cheerleading and the fundraising will continue for 2 years, and if New York doesn't come out on top, there'll be plenty of NYC 2012 memorabilia, everything from clothing to luggage tags hitting selected stores today. Lisa Romanello, New York.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. James Dean, French food, playing hooky. All bad things that are oh so good. But, like the little girl with a curl on her forehead, bad gasoline is horrid. When I come back, I'll tell you why.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
You may get Crepe Suzette out of your system by exercising, but bad gasoline in your car's system does long-lasting damage. As gasoline evaporates, it deposits harmful sludge which interacts with metals in your car's fuel system, causing gas to go rancid. Stale gas looks cloudy, smells like paint thinner, and gunks up your car's fuel injectors. Like too much French food clogs your arteries. So do what James Dean would. Go heavy on the Bernays sauce, but keep your tank filled with fresh gas. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Back to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting across America on the IE America Radio Network on radio stations on the ground, terrestrial radio stations broadcasting from outer space with the Sirius radio satellite, and Sirius Satellite Radio. That's it. And broadcasting live on the internet from radiopower.org, iamericaradio.com, and archived at whiterosesociety.org. Democracy, the Democracy Zone, building democracy. Everybody knows, anybody who studied American history, knows that there was this argument that happened in 1787 after the war was won against England, after the British Empire was overthrown, that there was this debate that went on in Philadelphia, in Constitution Hall, where they were trying to work out what kind of government would we have? What kind of government would come about in the United States? Now, another group of people had a similar argument, a similar discussion, and I'd like to share with you just a little bit of that. This is going to blow your mind. The deed were done; it was done. The people were freed of the tyrant. And now, when 5 days were gone, the historian of the time wrote, and the hubbub had settled down, the conspirators met together to consult about the situation of affairs. At this meeting, speeches were made, and the first speaker recommended that the management of public affairs should be entrusted to the whole nation. Now, listen to what this first guy says. He's essentially advocating what we would call democracy. To me, one of the leaders of the rebellion said, it seems advisable that we should no longer have a single man rule over us. The rule of one is neither good nor pleasant. How indeed is it possible that monarchy should be a well-adjusted thing when it allows a man to do as he likes without being answerable? Such license, he said. What he was saying was basically that even if they had selected from among their own some noble, good person that they all knew and respected to be the oligarch, to be the king, he says it's not going to work. He said, and I quote, "Such license is enough to stir strange and unwanted thoughts in the hearts of the worthiest men. Give a person this power, and straight away his manifold good things puff him up with pride. And if the man who was in charge wasn't among the worthiest of men," he added, "the worst of all is that he sets aside the laws of the land, puts men to death without trial, and subjects women to violence." End quote. Many in the room nodded or otherwise expressed agreement as he finished his speech by saying, "I therefore vote that we do away with monarchy and raise the people to power, for the people are all in all." Well, then a second man rose and said, "In all that this first guy has said to persuade you to put down monarchy, I fully concur." I am, by the way, quoting to you the exact words that were said. "I fully concur. But his recommendation that we should call the people to power seems to me not the best advice, for there is nothing so void of understanding, nothing so full of wantonness as the unwieldy rabble. If were folly not to be borne for men while seeking to escape the wantonness of a tyrant, to give ourselves up to the wantonness of a rude, unbridled mob is even worse. The tyrant in all his doings at least knows what he's about, but a mob is altogether devoid of knowledge. For how should there be any knowledge in a rabble, untaught and with no natural sense of what is right and fit? It rushes wildly into state affairs with all the fury of a stream swollen in the winter, and it confuses everything. Let the enemies of the Persians be ruled by democracies, but let us choose from out of our citizens a certain number of the worthiest and put the government in their hands. For thus both we ourselves shall be among the governors. And power being entrusted to the best man, it is likely that the best counsels will prevail in the state." One of the rebels, a third man, even suggested that monarchy was better than either of these things. In oligarchies, such as that suggested by the second speaker, the third man said, where men vie with each other in the service of the commonwealth, fierce enmities are apt to arise between man and man, each wishing to be the leader and to carry his own measures, whence violent quarrels come, which lead to open strife, often ending in bloodshed. Then monarchy is sure to follow. In other words, even if you had wise, noble people who you selected from among a class that was educated and capable of ruling, they would eventually start competing with each other and fights would break out and you'd end up with a king. And he says, you know, it's basically inevitable. But he says, even in democracy, you're going to have the same problem. He says, in a democracy, it is impossible, but there will be malpractices. And these malpractices do not lead to enmities, but to close friendships, which are formed among those engaged in them who must hold together to carry on their villainies. In other words, he's saying political parties will form. And so things go on until a man stands forth as champion of the commonality and puts down the evildoers, and straight away the author of so great a service is admired by all, and from being admired soon comes to be appointed king. So he says, hey, no matter how you do it, if you do it as a democracy, you're going to end up with a king. If you do it as an oligarchy, as a wise council of elders or whatever, you're going to end up with a king. And then furthermore, he says, let's look at history. I mean, for thousands of years we've had kings. He says, even apart from this, we ought not to change the laws of our forefathers when they work fairly, for to do so is not to do well. Now, who were these men who were saying these words? This was not Jefferson, Adams, and Madison. What I was quoting to you were Otanes, Megabyzes, and Darius. This was written in 430 B.C. by Herodotus in his Book of Three Histories, in Book Three of his Histories. And it's a discussion, it's called the Persian Debate, that that he is recreating that took place in 530 B.C. So this is not a new discussion. This is not a new debate. What, you know, what form of governance should we have? And so when Madison and Jefferson and Franklin and Adams and Hamilton and Mason and Jay and all these others got together, they knew this stuff. They had read this debate that I just shared with you. This was part of a normal education to read Herodotus. They knew that Aristotle and his teacher Plato and his teacher Socrates strongly disliked democracy, that they made the same arguments that Herodotus did. Now, the reason why, this is really interesting, a lot of people don't realize it. The reason why is that Socrates, Athens was a democracy. They had, it was so democratic that even what were they called? I think they were called there's a Greek word that basically means like common laborers. And these people were, in the last 100 years of the Greek, the Athenian democracy, fully enfranchised. They had the full, at least the men among that. You know, again, they didn't pull it off right, but we have another chance here. But in any case, we can learn our lessons from this. And Athens had, the consensus was, Athens had one of the strongest and most powerful navies in the world because all of the average Joes in the Navy were also voters, were also participants in the Athenian democracy. Actually, not voters, because they didn't have votes in the Athenian democracy. Instead, the way it worked was every single one of them was a member of the lottery and could have their name drawn every year and could end up being one of the people who served, who governed the country, the 501 men who governed the country of Athens. And this democracy was incredibly powerful and very successful. And all through his life, Socrates was warning that it was going to fall apart. And he had a guy who was one of his students named Critias, as I recall, and I may be mispronouncing this. And Critias, along with another fellow whose name escapes me, it's Alcibiades. Anyway, they overthrew. There was this revolt that happened in the middle of Socrates' lifetime, and they overthrew the democracy. There was first the revolt of the 400 that lasted for, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 years, something like that. And then there was the revolt of the 30, which was led by Critias, who was the student of Socrates. And thousands of people died. I mean, this was a bloody revolt, a messy, messy thing. And all of the pro-democracy people fled Athens. They had to. I mean, they were putting them to death. They were having trials, and for some reason that to this day isn't explained, Socrates hung out, had no problem. They didn't put him in jail. They didn't give him a hard time. And ultimately, that's why he ended up on trial. He was tried for corrupting the youth of Athens. And what that really meant was he had trained this young man who was a teenager at the time, Critias, and trained him in believing that democracy was not a useful way to go. The democracy was ultimately dangerous. In fact, there's this interesting discussion. Alcibiades was one of the other students of Socrates who became one of the overthrowers. And he had this debate with Pericles where he's going on and he says, hey, you know, is law a good thing? And Pericles says, yes, of course. And he said, well, it's a good thing if the king makes a law. And Pericles says, yes. And he said, but the law is enforced by force. And Pericles says, well, yeah. And he says, well, then that's not a good thing, is it? And Pericles says, okay, I'll grant you that. It's not always a good thing. And then Alcibiades says, well, what if the law is made by the mob, in a democracy, and then it's enforced by force? And at that point, Pericles throws his hands up in the air and says, okay, you got me. And this, of course, was written by Xenophon, who in the Memoirs of Socrates. This is the these were the teachings of Socrates, that democracy was a dangerous thing. And James Madison had to deal with this. He dealt with it in number 10, Federalist number 10, where he talked about, you know, we're not trying to create a democracy like Socrates talked about, because that's a dangerous thing. We're trying to instead create something else. And it's interesting when you get into the Monroe Doctrine and the whole notion that we're creating a republic and we're not creating an empire, how things have changed since then. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle, this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
There's the Medal of Honor, the Purple Heart, and other badges and decorations to honor America's fighting men and women. But there should be one more medal for some of our top officials who also are so richly deserving of public recognition in times of war. The Dishonorable Badge of High-Ranking Hypocrisy. Among the deserving are George W. Bush and all the other hyper hawks of both parties who talk so loudly about duty and bravery as they send our troops into their hyped up wars, yet fail to provide the necessary gear that these very troops need to do battle. I'm not talking about the super sophisticated high dollar laser guided missiles and other video game technology that dazzles both the hawks and the fawning media while enriching the profiteering corporations that sell such sexy hardware to the government. Rather, I'm talking about the mundane, low-dollar basics needed to equip the grunts on the ground. Stuff like good socks and boots, rucksacks, field radios, pistols, and rifle sights. But these ground troops don't have Gucci-clad lobbyists or make fat campaign donations, so, as incredible as it sounds, they've literally been getting shortchanged while the White House and Congress hurl billions of our tax dollars at the likes of Boeing, Lockheed, and Raytheon. An investigative report by the Army tells of our troops in Iraq having to shell out from their own thin paychecks to buy equipment from places like L.L. Bean because the stuff they've been issued is inadequate, including boots with soles that can't handle the Iraqi terrain, pistol magazines that fail to push the bullets into the chamber for firing, and field radios too weak to reach support units just a few blocks away. One Army official complained that a typical mountain climbing expedition is better outfitted than the troops fighting Bush's war. This is Jim Hightower saying, anytime these hawkish politicians use America's troops for a photo op backdrop, they should have to be wearing their badge of high-ranking hypocrisy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Richie GB in our chat room on the from TomHartmanShow.com had asked the source of the dialogue that I had shared with you at the beginning of the hour, and it was from Herodotus, H-E-R-O-D-O-T-U-S, in his Histories, which was written more or less around 430 B.C. And the histories are divided into three books, and this is from Book 3. And it's the debate between Otanes, Megabyces, and Darius. And so if you just go to Herodotus, if you track down Herodotus, Book 3, Histories, and then just do a quick search once you find that. It's all over the Internet on Darius, D-A-R-I-U-S. You can easily find that dialogue. And to quote the great Zen Pickle, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it greener on the other side. Actually, there was a point that was made in the chat room here that I thought was really a good one. Maybe it's already scrolled off. Ah, here it is. Adam Smith even used 18th century England as an example of economies without moral oversight. And he says, to paraphrase Adam Smith, bad, bad, bad. Yeah, and Wealth of Nations is a fascinating read, and you really get it that what Smith is saying in Wealth of Nations is that economy and government are not separate, that governance and economy are intertwined, and that when you bring in, you know, and Smith doesn't much get into empire in this context, but when you bring in empire into this thing, then the equation gets very, very dangerous. Empire is inherently anti-democratic. And this was a lesson that the Greeks constantly dealt with. This was a lesson that the Romans learned, although the Romans never really claimed to have a democracy. We say republic came from them, but it's, you know, the idea of boundary, laws of boundary. But, for example, Charles Dickens wrote about what life was like in England during the height of empire, of British empire. And what was life like? There were the very rich and the very poor, and pretty much nothing in between. I mean, look at Christmas Carol, and here's Bob Cratchit, you know, trying to make enough money to just feed his family, his poor childhood, and this Dickensian world came about as a consequence, in part, of England's reaching out for empire. Because this is a really critical point. If you are not established as empire, but rather you are just a nation, and we within this nation want to make money, we want to make a living, we have to do it in a way that causes us to interact with our own peers, with our own people. We have to, at some level, respect them. We have to, at some level, have some form of fairness in our interactions with other people, because if we don't, eventually it's going to fall apart. If you want to extract wealth or create wealth, you're going to have to treat your workers well. On the other hand, if you have empire, you can reach out across the planet to some place where you can suppress and oppress people, crush them, steal their wealth, and there's no consequence to you, or very little. I mean, you've got the military cost of doing it, and so you have the ability to ignore your people at home. So the poor get poorer. So what? We don't need them, is the theory of empire. And so what happens is, as nations increasingly move in the direction of empire, these incredible disparities of wealth increase. And this is the core of the conservative agenda. Cheap labor. This is the core of the conservative agenda. And empire fits into it perfectly. Stay with the Tom Hartman Program. We'll return in just a few moments.
does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A water expert says we eat a lot more water every day than we drink. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Doctors say we should drink about a half gallon of water every day, but an expert in water use says the amount of water we drink is just a fraction of the water we eat. He says 700 gallons of water is needed to produce the food we consume in a single day. All that water goes into raising livestock and growing crops to feed just one person. John Letty is director of the Center for Water Resources at the University of California in Riverside. Letty figured out how many gallons of water are needed to produce the food one person eats in a day. He discovered the food the average American eats every day requires 708 gallons of water. That's several times more water than an average person uses for other purposes. That figure is about 125 gallons for things like laundry, dishwashing, bathing, and flushing. According to some estimates, irrigated agriculture accounts for about two-thirds of all freshwater consumption. Letty says it's important for people to know it's not just farmers using that water. It's being used by all the people in cities who buy and eat that food.
I think the main message is one for the city dweller to have just a clear recognition that there is a tremendous amount of water that goes to agriculture to produce food and fiber that the city person uses.
Letty says one way for people to conserve water is to eat more vegetables. He says that's because less water is used to grow crops than to raise livestock. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network. The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The salesman relaxed with a few pints of beer. He tried not to speak about trade. The poet won't write, and he bears his command. He may sing a sweet serenade.
Day 117 of the search for weapons of mass distraction. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program, broadcasting on the IE America Radio Network. Today in the Christian Science Monitor, actually it was yesterday in the Christian Science Monitor, Democratic push in Hong Kong. 10,000 protesters rallied Sunday in support of reforms in the territory is the headline, or the subhead. The third gathering since 500,000 people marched July 1st. This is the third gathering. This is the first time since 1989, since the Tiananmen Square era, that this many people have been coming out in the streets in Hong Kong. And why? because they are concerned about the possibility that China is pursuing empire. China has imposed upon them a national security bill. It's called Article 23. And Article 23 has some very specific provisions. It allows for searches, reading from the Christian Science Monitor, it allows for searches and arrest without a warrant. And it allows for the labeling as subversive organizations with ties to groups banned on the mainland. Sound familiar? It's their version of the Patriot Act. And these people are out on the streets saying, no, not in our country. Because empire is incompatible with democracy. And what people in Hong Kong are looking for is democracy. One of the comments that one of the folks made in the article was that they had had enough experience with the British to know that there was this thing called the rule of law. And at the same time, they had this experience of freedom. They'd had this, and interesting, but Hong Kong's flower power movement is fired by mild-mannered, well-trimmed figures in preppy suits and expensive sandals who are calling for direct elections and political accountability, says the Christian Science Monitor. It is being led by conservative, respected law school deans and Hong Kong Bar Association presidents, alarmed by the lack of rights and protections in a national security bill known as Article 23. You see, what's going to happen is in 2007, the government, there's supposed to be direct elections in Hong Kong, and these folks are concerned that this thing is just going to pull the rug out from underneath it, that this is going to be the end of it. Does empire ever work? Our question, does empire ever work? Does it work? Did it work for China? Well, they're sure trying it again. But they're also, some would say, trying to move in the direction of democracy. It's going to be really interesting to see how it shakes out. The Chinese think that this is their century. They're very emphatic about that. This is the new Chinese century. This is going to be it, the beginning of the Chinese empire in the next 100 years. And, of course, the Bushies are saying, no, it's the new American century. And we're going to do it by empire. Empire, the founders railed against empire. I mean, let's look back at how empire was responded to in North America back in the 1700s. I find this fascinating. I have a book that was published in the 1820s by a fellow by the name of George Robert Twelvetree Hughes. He's the only survivor of the Boston Tea Party who actually wrote down a memoir, because they all swore an oath of secrecy to each other for 50 years that they would not discuss this thing amongst each other. It started, really, it goes back to 1681. In 1681, there was a law passed called an Act for the Restraining and Punishing of Pirates and Privateers. And this law, it read, I'll actually read you part of the law. It says, it shall be a felony for any person who now doth or within 4 years last past heretofore hath or where shall inhabit and belong to this island to serve in America in a hostile manner under any foreign prince, blah, 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 blah. Be it further enacted that the authority aforesaid that every person or persons that shall in any way knowingly entertain, harbor, conceal, trade, or hold any correspondence or letter with such person shall be judged to be privateers or other offenders within the construction of this act. Now, what is the penalty for being a privateer? The penalty for being a privateer, every such offender or offenders contrary to the true intent of this act being therefore duly convicted in His Majesty's Supreme Court of Judiciary within this island to this court authority is hereby given to hear and to determine the same as other cases of felony shall suffer pains of death without the benefit of clergy. In 1681, basically what they said was, if you do business with North America without the permission of the crown, you're a privateer. And the East India Company, this huge monopoly, had cut a deal with the British government that they would hold most of the licenses. And so they were trying to actually use this law of 1681, the Act for Restraining and Punishing Privateers. They were trying to use this law to put out of business the entrepreneurs small American business people who were running ships back and forth between North America and all the parts of the world to import tea and steel and just all kinds of stuff. It wasn't quite steel back then, but you know what I mean. And so in the late 1680s, the East India Company hired Captain Kidd to clean up their trade routes. And his job was to go out and kill off these privateers to on behalf of the East India Company to kill entrepreneurs. And he did so very enthusiastically. But then it was discovered in 1700 that he was keeping some of the booty for himself. When it was supposed to be that when he took a ship from an American entrepreneur, somebody who wasn't paying their dues to England, that he was supposed to turn it over to England, he was keeping some of it. And so in 1701, they hanged him. They said, well, he turned into one himself. So they hanged him. So anyhow, 1767, the Townshend Act, 1773, the Tea Act. This was kind of the beginning of the whole thing. And you read in this book that I have here by Hughes in 1823, he's talking about what happened in November of 1773. And he says, the East India Company, however, received permission to transport tea free of all duty from Great Britain to America, allowing it to wipe out its small competitors and take over the tea business in all of America. Hence, it was no longer the small vessels of private merchants who went to vend tea for their own accounts in the ports of the colonies, but, on the contrary, ships of an enormous burthen that transported immense quantities of this commodity, which, by the aid of the public authority, might, as they supposed, easily be landed and amassed in suitable magazines. Accordingly, the company sent its agents at Boston, New York, and Philadelphia 600 chests of tea and a proportionate number to Charleston and other maritime cities of the American continent. The colonies were now arrived at the decisive moment when they must cast the die and determine their course. So the East India Company, they've been enforcing this law, Captain Kidd and all this, and they say, you know, no, you private small entrepreneurs, we're going to wipe you out. You can't do this. And a pamphlet, this was the internet of the day, was the pamphleteering, the small printing press in your back of your house, and you print these things out, and in the night you'd go out and stick them on people's doors, in the morning they'd open the doors and there's this pamphlet, or they'd be posting them on public posts or walls, called The Alarm, published, authored by a man named Rusticus. Nobody to this day knows who Rusticus was. Said, and this was in 1773, as the tea was on its way. Now this is how empire is viewed. We were looking at England, and we realized that it wasn't just England. That empire is a tool. Empire projects power to protect economic interests. It's a tool, a governmental tool, for private corporate interests. Just as Halliburton and Bechtel and all these corporations are cleaning up right now, hundreds of millions of dollars in Iraq. The Iraqis are looking at that and saying, that's the face of empire. So back in 1773, Rusticus writes this thing in The Alarm. He says, are we in like manner to be given to the disposal of the East India Company, who now have the assurance to step forth in aid of the minister to execute his plan of enslaving America? Their conduct in Asia for some years past has given simple proof how little they regard the laws of nations, the rights, liberties, or lives of men. They have levied war. Now keep in mind, he's talking about a corporation. They have levied war, excited rebellions, dethroned lawful princes, and sacrificed millions for the sake of profit. The revenues of mighty kingdoms have centered in their coffers. And these, not being sufficient to glut their avarice, they have, by the most unparalleled barbarities, extortions, and monopolies, stripped the miserable inhabitants of their property and reduced whole provinces to indigence and ruin. 1,500,000, it is said, perished by famine in 1 year, not because the earth denied its fruits, but because the East India Company engulfed all the necessaries of life and set them at so high a price that the poor could not purchase them. People read this pamphlet and said, whoa, this is a nasty company. May 27th, 1773, Rustic has published another pamphlet. Resolve, therefore, nobly resolve, and publish to the world your resolutions that no man will receive the tea. No man will let his stores or suffer the vessel that brings it to moor at his wharf, and that if any person assists in unloading, landing, or storing it, he shall ever after be deemed an enemy to his country and never be employed by his fellow citizens. The voices were getting louder. October 27, 1773, Rusticus spoke again in another issue of the Alarm. He said, It hath now been proven to you that the East India Company attained the monopoly of that trade by bribery and corruption, that the power thus obtained they have prostituted to extortion and other the most cruel and horrible purposes the sun ever beheld. So George Robert Twelvetree Hughes, he chronicles all this in his book, and he says, on the 28th of November, 1773, the ship Dartmouth with 112 chests arrived, and the next morning after, the following notice was widely circulated. And Hughes wrote this down, quote, and this was a paper that was, friends, brethren, countrymen, that worst of plagues, the detested tea, has arrived in this harbor. The hour of destruction, a manly opposition to the machinations of tyranny, stares you in the face. Every friend in his country to himself and to posterity is now called upon to meet in Faneuil Hall at 9 o'clock this day, at which time the bells will ring to make a united and successful resistance to this last, worst, and most destructive measure of administration. So they met in Faneuil Hall, and they talked about what to do. And a guy named Josiah Quinney, in some books, modern books, they call him Quincy, but in Hughes's book, which is the only that I've been able to find actual original text of this thing. It's Quiney. Josiah Quinney stands up and says, well, I'll tell you what Hughes said. In this conjuncture, Josiah Quinney, a man of great influence in the colony, of a vigorous and cultivated genius, and strenuously opposed to ministerial enterprise. Now, ministerial enterprise is a phrase that meant businesses sanctioned by the crown, basically the East India Company. Wishing to apprise his fellow citizens of the importance of the crisis and direct their attention to probable results which might follow, after demanding silence, said, quote, this ardor and this impetuosity which are manifested within these walls are not those that are requisite to conduct us in the object we have in view. In other words, he's saying, you know, other spirits are essential to our salvation. Greatly will he deceive himself who shall think that with cries, with exclamations, with popular resolutions, we can hope to triumph in the conflict and vanquish our inveterate foes. In other words, talk is not going to make it. Their malignity is implacable, their thirst for vengeance insatiable. They have their allies, their accomplices, even in the midst of us, even in the bosom of this innocent country. And who is ignorant of the power of those who have conspired our ruin? Who knows not their artifices? Imagine not, therefore, that you can bring this controversy to a happy conclusion without the most strenuous, the most arduous, the most terrible conflict. He's telling them, you guys take this corporation on, you're going to have to take on England. Consider attentively the difficulty of the enterprise and the uncertainty of the issue. Reflect and ponder, even ponder well, before you embrace the measures which are to involve this country in the most perilous enterprise the world has ever witnessed. And they had this debate, and they decided, okay, we're going to go for it. We are going to take on Empire. And Hughes says, it was now evening, and I immediately dressed myself in the costume of an Indian equipped with a small hatchet, which I and my associates denominated the tomahawk, with a club, and having painted my face and hands with coal dust in the shop of a blacksmith, I repaired to Griffin's wharf, where the ships lay that contained the tea. When I first appeared in the street after being thus disguised, I fell in with many others who were dressed, equipped, and painted as I was, and who fell in with me and marched in order to the place of our destination. When we arrived at the wharf, there were three of our number who assumed an authority to direct our operations, to which we readily submitted. They divided us into three parties for the purpose of boarding the three ships which contained the tea. The name of him who commanded the division to which I was assigned was Leonard Pitt. The names of the other commanders I never knew. Keep in mind, this was all done in silence. We were immediately ordered by the respective commanders to board all the ships at the same time, which we promptly obeyed. The commander of the division to which I belonged, as soon as we were on board the ship, appointed me boatswain and ordered me to go to the captain and demand of him the keys to the hatches and a dozen candles. I made the demand accordingly. The captain promptly replied, but requested that we do no damage to the ship. We were then ordered by our commander to open the hatches and take out all the chests of tea and throw them overboard, and we immediately proceeded to execute his orders, first cutting and splitting the chests with our tomahawks. In about 3 hours from the time we went on board, we had thus broken and thrown overboard every chest of tea to be found on the ship, while those in the other ships were disposed in a similar way. We then retired quietly to our several places of residence without having any conversation with each other or taking any measures to discuss who were our associates. Nor do I recollect of our having had any knowledge of the name of the single individual concerned in the affair, except for that of Leonard Pitt, the commander of my division, whom I have mentioned. There appeared to be an understanding that each individual should volunteer his services, keep his own secret, and risk the consequences for himself. No disorder took place during the transaction, and it was observed at that time that it was the stillest night that Boston had enjoyed for many months. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of America, standing up to empire and saying no, standing up to the economic forces of empire. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home...
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
Let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
They finally did it. A weight loss formula that's guaranteed to work. And it comes from Metabolife, the leader in weight loss for years. It's new Metabolife Ultra, with an appetite suppressant and sustained energy. Its key ingredients have been clinically tested and shown to help you lose weight. In fact, we're so sure that Metabolife Ultra will work for you that we absolutely guarantee your results. Go to Metabolife.com for all the details. It's available now wherever you shop. Ask for it by name. Metabolife Ultra.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Mike Molloy Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights. She says, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've been talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, honey, just...
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman radio program. Donovan, we heard him play live a couple of years ago at a conference. He's still around and he's still making incredible music. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program. Corp Watch last week published a piece from the India Resource Center, speaking of empire. On the 10th of May, 2003, about 100 people held a demonstration at the plant gate. This is of the Bharat Coca-Cola Bottling Northeast Private Limited, an Indian arm of Coca-Cola in Mehganja, Uttar Pradesh, 20 kilometers from the holy city of Varanasi. Nearly 200 police personnel were sent by the district authorities to protect the plant, along with 50 gun-toting private security guards. This is in India. While this agitation was suppressed by beating up the demonstrators to disperse them, local inhabitants are geared for a long struggle against the cola giant. People's organizations, women's groups, human rights organizations have submitted a memorandum to the district magistrate demanding cancellation of the industrial license of the bottling plant. They point out that the average worker gets about $1.33 per day in this plant. Two tube wells run 24 hours a day. To draw hundreds of thousands of liters of groundwater, every hour a truck carrying 550 crates of bottled soft drinks leaves the factory premises. And these people are very concerned that their water is being sucked out and that waste is being produced. In fact, the company was found guilty of evading payment of land revenue. And quoting again from this article, the verdict takes note of the fact that the company has illegally occupied a portion of common property resources of the village, end quote. The plant was disposing its effluent into a nearby canal which emptied into the river Ganga. In the past few months, however, during construction of a superhighway, the pipes to the canal were dislodged and the factory began to dispose toxic industrial waste into the neighboring fields and mangrove groves. Coca-Cola officials claim that the plant is fitted with eco-filters, but residents allege that the waste is hazardous in nature. Solid chemical waste is also being dumped in nearby fields. The total area submerged by the factory waste is about 20 acres. Grass in the submerged area, as well as crops of wheat, paddy, and chickpeas, have been destroyed. And on it goes. Heavy consumption of groundwater by the company has lowered the groundwater level from 15 to 40 feet, and people are now having to depend on hand pumps for their water. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Exactly there, from the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The United States says it has, quote, deep concern over a recent report claiming North Korea has finished reprocessing spent fuel rods for nuclear weapons. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher told reporters yesterday the channel for talks between the U.S. and North Korea remain open despite tensions over possible nuclear capabilities.
We've said repeatedly that any attempt by them to reprocess, to recover plutonium, to make more progress on the way to nuclear weapons would be a matter of deep concern to us, and as well, I think, concern to others in the region who have made that clear as well.
Boucher would not discuss any actual details of that report. The U.S. believes North Korea may have one or two nuclear weapons already and enough material to make another six. And the team studying the February Space Shuttle Columbia disaster says it could happen again. The New York Times is reporting today the draft put together by the RAND Corporation for the Columbia Accident Investigation Board says because of the uncertainty of exactly what caused the loss of Columbia and concerns about the aging fleet, the shuttles will lose their usefulness before their retirement date in 2020. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News. This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Tropical Storm Claudette picked up strength overnight and is now the first hurricane of the 2003 season. She's now bearing down on the Texas coastline, albeit a bit slowly. Meteorologist Chris Judkins with the National Hurricane Center in Miami says Claudette's winds are 75 miles an hour now, and the storm is moving west at about 12 miles an hour.
So it has picked up its forward speed just a bit, and if it continues this motion as we expect, it will be on shore late this afternoon, early this evening, near Corpus Christi or the central Texas coastline.
Claudette is a Category 1 hurricane now, and Judkins says that means residents can expect coastal flooding, tides 3 to 5 feet above normal, and up to 8 inches of rain is also likely. Democrats continue calling President Bush's credibility into question in the ongoing controversy over pre-war claims about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. On NBC's Today Show earlier, Massachusetts Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy called the Bush administration's Iraq strategy a, quote, failed policy.
Well, the great tragedy would be that American servicemen are risking and losing their lives in Iraq based upon flawed, distorted, and failed intelligence.
But Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby was also on the show, and he suggested Democrats are using the issue simply for a political gain.
I believe the Bush administration has been forthright with the American people. This is political season. You've got a presidential race coming up, and I think you've got to look at things as what they are and look at the political reasons.
Back in January's State of the Union address, President Bush said Iraq had tried to buy uranium in Africa. That turned out to be information from a forged document. CIA Director George Tenet has taken responsibility for the flap, and he's expected to be grilled by lawmakers later this week. And Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan is signaling he's ready to cut interest rates yet again if he thinks it's necessary to boost the still-struggling economy. In testimony he's prepared for Congress, Greenspan says he is ready to keep U.S. interest rates low for a, quote, considerable period of time to lift the ailing economy.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front!
Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours of back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Charges against the so-called 20th September 11th hijacker may be thrown out. Federal prosecutors are refusing a judge's orders to give Zakarias Moussaoui access to a suspected al-Qaeda commander in U.S. custody. Moussaoui claims he can prove he wasn't involved in the attacks if he's allowed to speak with Ramzi Ben El-Sheib. Prosecutors say allowing the two men to talk could endanger national security.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home?
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well,
let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Lime green, smoky black, pomegranate red, and crystal clear. If you're thinking fashion colors for fall, back up and think car fluids. And when I come back, I'll tell you all about them. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested six Tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today, or visit TornadoAir.com. The same false shades you see on Paris runways can be found on garage floors. And these colors speak volumes as to current or potential problems. Lime green says, coolant, check your radiator. Smoky black whispers oil leaks, could be engine, differential, or power steering. Pomegranate or brownish red hints transmission fluid. And crystal clear may say harmless condensation, or may shout danger, your brake fluid's leaking. Make sure your car's in the pink. Catch these fluids on a newspaper for your mechanic to evaluate. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program here on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live across all across America, coast to coast in the United States, on terrestrial radio stations, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio, and I can never get that, and broadcasting live on the internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org, archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. 1-800-TALK, yes, is the number if you'd like to weigh in on this. Does empire ever work? What about the possibility of empire in America? One of the things that happens when empires start collapsing, or when empires start reaching, and democracy begins to collapse in the service of empire, is that the ancient forms reemerge. The three ancient forms of tyranny that the founders of this country identified, warlord kings who maintain their power by virtue of constant warfare. As James Madison said, no democracy can survive in the face of continual warfare. But the kings of old used to actually have deals with each other where they would maintain low-grade warfare to keep their people distracted and active and, you know, build the, you know, it worked to their benefit. So one of the tyrants was kings. The second were the theocrats, the ones who said God told them to do it. And the third were the feudal lords, ruled by the rich. And as democracies crumble, you see these three forms reemerging. And there are some who suggest that we are now seeing the emergence of an imperial presidency. Rather than a nation where the presidency and the legislative branches draw their powers from the consent of we the people, of the governed, that they are claiming that they have the rights and giving to us the privileges. We even have this bizarre situation where Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court said that because it doesn't say in the Constitution, quote, right of privacy, end quote, there is no such thing, as if the Constitution grants rights. It doesn't. We've had this discussion before, but the Constitution limits government. The rights are granted in the minds of the founders. The rights were granted by God. The rights, human rights, are something that are inseparable, inalienable. So anyhow, we see this warlord mentality emerging. We certainly see the feudal state, the rise of the rule of the rich. And now, what about the theocrats? In today's New York Times, or yesterday's New York Times, Virginia Beach, Virginia, religious broadcaster Pat Robertson urged his nationwide audience Monday to pray for God to remove three justices from the Supreme Court so they could be replaced by conservatives. "We ask for miracles in regard to the Supreme Court," Robertson said on the Christian Broadcasting Network's 700 Club. He was kicking off a 21-day, what he calls a prayer offensive, because of the 6-3 vote in the Texas sodomy case. He says that this ruling is wrong, it's immoral, and here's, he sent a letter out to his people, and here's a quote from his letter. One of the Supreme Court justices, one justice is 83 years old, another has cancer, and another has a heart condition. So I guess we're all supposed to pray that they change their minds and decide not to be on the Supreme Court anymore. Or maybe that, you know, one of them just kind of croaks, falls over dead. This is so strange. And now, a couple of days ago, somebody called and said, you know, well, what about this thing about George Bush saying that God told him to attack Iraq? And I said on the air, I thought that that was a story that had come via Sharon, and I didn't know if he actually said that, and I was skeptical. And so Terrence Sullivan in Boston sent me an email. He says, "Thanks for your show. I download from WhiteRoseSociety.com and listen as I work. On Friday's show, you mentioned that it was Sharon who was quoted as saying that God told Bush to strike at Al-Qaeda and Saddam and was therefore doubtful of its accuracy. Actually, it was Abbas who quoted GW, and he gave me a link to Haaretz, which is the one of the newspapers in Israel. And here's this article on July 15th. You can find it on the internet, haaretz.com, and haaretz.com. And this is the July 15th article. Roadmap is a lifesaver for us, Prime Minister Abbas tells Hamas. And Abbas, after the meetings with Bush, had to go back and kind of explain to his people, the Hamas, I'm not sure what you'd call them, the various political factions among the Palestinians, some of whom felt that he had trashed them. He had to go back and explain to them, you know, what happened. And so the article says, Abbas opened the session after hearing scathing criticism from faction leaders of his Aqaba speech, in which he defined their activities as terrorism. He began with a broad review of his two meetings with Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and the Aqaba summit. And then they quote Abbas. He says, "Despite our reservations, we decided not to make them an obstacle, believing that the roadmap was a lifesaver for a tiger whose head was caught in the neck of a bottle." He says, "We were told that President George Bush is committed to the establishment of a viable Palestinian state beside the state of Israel. So based on our saying that we are ready to try that experiment, that is what was determined." So Abbas is, you know, saying to his friends and to his political enemies, I mean, the people that he's got to deal with here, you know, this is what we tried to do. We tried to work this thing out. He went on to explain in his speech in Aqaba, "We did not speak of our rights, but only of our commitments. Bush was impressed by that and mentioned the prisoners and settlements in his speech." So Abbas thinks he really made an impression on George Bush, and Bush is going to, you know, be the one who's going to help him out. And then at the very end of the article, Abbas says that at Aqaba, Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat. He said nobody can speak to or pressure Sharon except the Americans. According to Abbas, immediately thereafter, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then he instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. And now I am determined to solve the problem in the Middle East. If you will help me, I will act, and if not, the elections will come, and I will have to focus on them. And this, I couldn't believe it when I first heard it. And, it's funny. I recall it was on BuzzFlash there. Mike was talking about it on the air that night. But I just didn't dig into it, and here it is. So are we fixing for a theocracy? India says Monday it's not going to send peacekeeping troops to Iraq without a UN mandate. India has familiarity with empire, certainly with the British Empire. By the way, just one of the points that I made earlier, I was talking about the Chinese and Zen Pickle in our chat room, which you can find by going to TomHartmanShow.com. And clicking on the link to the chat room, Zen Pickle pointed out that the Chinese had an empire that lasted 2,000 years with just a few minor bits of anarchy here and there. And I am not a student or a scholar of Chinese history, but it's not inconsistent with what I understand. I've been in China. I studied in Beijing for the month of November in 1986, studied acupuncture in a hospital there. But, I'm not, and I, did the tourist stuff, but... it makes sense. And I remember walking around the Forbidden City and seeing all the old artifacts and walking around the museum in Beijing, downtown Beijing, where they've got like a 5,000-year-old clock powered by water. It's an amazing thing. So maybe they think they can bring it back. But would you really call that empire, or would you call that nation? Because when I'm talking about empire, what I'm talking about is reaching out beyond the boundaries of your own country and seizing the resources of another nation, whether those resources are natural resources like oil or wood or coal or steel or bauxite or whatever, or whether those resources are human resources, human beings, and bringing those resources back to your nation and using them to enrich the ruling class in your own nation. That's my definition of empire. I looked it up in the American Heritage Dictionary this morning, and it's kind of a vague, it's I don't remember the exact phrasing now, but it was sort of like, nation that reaches beyond. So anyhow, I would say that perhaps we're splitting hairs here. India said Monday that it would not send peacekeeping troops to Iraq without a UN mandate, as I mentioned, rejecting a request from Washington. Here's the comment. This is from the, where did this come from? MSNBC News. Political parties, including some in the ruling coalition, had said any Indian troops sent to Iraq would become part of an occupation force, and they put that in quotes, if they were not covered by a UN mandate. And there is, of course, no UN mandate. This is the thing that it's just so incredible to me to hear the rabid, foaming at the mouth, multimillionaire spokesman for Fox News, for Rupert Murdoch, for the Al Jazeera of the Republican Party, Sean Hannity, going on and on and on about, nobody called Clinton to task in 98, and we went after him in 91, and what about 93, and what about the Israelis bombed the reactor, and rah, 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 rah. And yeah, that's all history. What does that have to do with today? Don't you have intelligence services for the purpose of figuring out what's going on now? I mean, isn't the job of an intelligence service to say, hey, here's what we think is going on right now? We got spies over there, we got cameras, we got things up in the air, but that looking down. It is so sad, frankly, to hear this partisanship being spun when our young men and women are putting their lives on the line and dying every day to secure profits for Halliburton and some of the largest corporations in America to bring oil to this country. It is clear now. It is clear that our intelligence services did not believe that Iraq was an imminent threat. And it is, I mean, General Wesley Clark on 9/11 gets a phone call from the White House saying, we got to pin this on Saddam. This is an old feud going back to George W.'s daddy. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. And Philip in Florida is on the line, but Philip, we're going to run up against a break here in about 15 seconds.
Well, then,
so I'm going to ask you to just hold on.
I can't say what I need to say in 14 seconds.
Yeah, so if you can just hang on over this break, I'll bring you back right after. We've got about 4 minutes of commercials here. Pay the bills. And we'll be back with Philip from Florida talking about, talking about all these things here. Empire in America, empire in the world. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
Hi, Tom Baudet with a memo to corporate CEOs. Looks like all those accounting shenanigans to make your company look profitable weren't such a great idea. Well, all you had to do was stay at Motel 6. While you don't get the thrill of cooking those books, you do get a clean, comfortable room for the lowest price of any national chain. Of course, the other methods will get you a room too, but it has bars on it and you're not allowed to leave. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6 and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, 1-800-825-5937 is the number. And Philip from Florida, thank you so much for waiting over that break. I apologize for running you up against it. What's on your mind today?
Hi, I want to comment on what you were talking about, you know, the Hannity diatribes, etc. One thing I was listening to the show yesterday afternoon, and one thing, his show, and one thing that I found very interesting is I think there is now some concerted, organized effort by people who are actually prepared, you know, to speak with facts and figures and information to call that show and call him on his baloney. There were about three calls back-to-back who tore him up.
Really? And they got past his screener?
Yeah, that's the important thing, because mostly when you call and that gal there, you ask what you want to say, and I disagree with him about, and they go, well, I'll tell him, and then they hang up on you.
Right.
And then, of course, you get the calls, oh, Sean, I just love you, I met you at, you know.
Right.
And you know, mostly the calls are just, you know, kissing his caboose.
Right.
But now people are getting through, and I think there's some type of an organized effort, because these people had facts, figures, they were good speakers, they were prepared.
And they had figured out how to bamboozle his call screener. By the way, we have great folks here at the network who answer the phones, but anybody who calls, who wants to, you know, who isn't drooling, is welcome on the air. I like to hear from people who disagree with me, and I love to hear from people who say, "Hey, so and so has this argument. How can I respond to that?" Or what, you know, I'm all in favor of it. But I know that the Hannity Show and a lot of those other shows, or I don't know it.
They screen people out.
Yeah, they really try to create a flavor, a look and feel, a sense of syncopant, you know, of everybody loves them, this is the
right
way it is, America. And they do that by very carefully filtering who gets through. And so if you get on and you disagree with them, that means that you were successful at lying to the call screener.
Yeah, but I can tell you from personal experience that Limbo, his screener, if you call and say you want to disagree, 99% of the time they say, I'll tell them. They hang up. They seem like they all read from the same script.
Right.
Isn't there a guy named Norquist,
Grover,
who is
Norquist,
a big political operator, who has Wednesday meetings, okay, every day, and provides talking points to all the conservative radio talk show hosts?
Oh, yeah, they get them daily, actually.
Grover Norquist, he has, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday meetings.
Right. I want to say it's through the Heritage Foundation. I may well be wrong, though.
He's something, you know, taxpayers for somebody,
yeah,
somebody, or some, I don't
right
know, some inane organization.
Yeah, he's the guy who said he doesn't want to destroy American democracy or American government. He just wants to reduce it to the size where he can drag it into the bathroom and drown it in the bathtub.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
famous quote.
They want to get to the point where there's only one political party, and then there's no reason to have elections anymore, because there is only one political party, like a Saddam Hussein type of election. The reality is this, I think. I think when you see the economy, you see the unemployment, record bankruptcies, record foreclosures, you know, one a day, at least one or two Americans getting getting murdered in Iraq every day, okay? The soldiers of occupation being shot. This is a hole in his boat, and his boat is taking water.
Yeah, it's all going to
add
up to
the poles are going only in one direction. They're not going in two. They're going in one.
Yeah.
I think this
and
guy...
You know, what's interesting, Philip, is what this is going to mean, what the consequences of this are going to be. Thanks for sharing that with us, and thanks for calling in. There's the conventional wisdom is that Hillary doesn't want there to be anybody until the next year. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Unless California's budget crisis is resolved in the next month and a half, state employees will be taking a significant cut in pay. The state says elected officials, including lawmakers, will lose their entire salaries first, and then state workers will see their wages cut back to $6.75 an hour, California's minimum wage.
Nurses at Providence Milwaukee Hospital in Portland, Oregon, are fresh off a one-day strike, but they say the issues that led to the walkout remain unresolved. Members of Service Employees International Union Local 503 hope to pressure hospital managers for a first contract, citing the need to stem the tide of mandatory overtime. Jen Contrecht is one of 125 nurses at the hospital, all but seven of whom walked off the job for 24 hours last Friday. She says long hours and unsafe staffing levels have taken a toll on the quality of patient care.
Things like the fact that you have to wait 2 hours for your pain medication, or the fact that your bed doesn't get changed the day, or the fact that you don't get up and walk, which impacts how well you breathe, which impacts whether you get pneumonia or not, which impacts how long you stay in the hospital.
No new talks are scheduled, though both sides plan to meet separately with the federal mediator today.
The Alberta-Canada Federation of Labor is setting up a legal defense fund for three college students who tossed a pie into the face of Alberta Premier Ralph Klein last week. Klein was speaking at a breakfast event when dessert came early, a banana cream pie, which he said tasted good as he wiped it off his face. After invoking the specter of terrorism, though, today a pie, tomorrow a gun, Klein says he will prosecute the three to the fullest extent of the law. The AFL says the incident's being overblown from the prank it was, and while it does not condone the pieing, it shares the frustrations of those who smeared the premier. The piers will appear in court August 21st.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Working hard to make a living.
Tom Hartman Radio Program on the iAmerica Radio Network. An opinion poll. This is an article in today's Wall Street Journal. Controversy taints Blair trip to U.S. by Mark Champion. An opinion poll by ICM Research published yesterday found that 66% of Britons believe Mr. Blair misled them over the justifications for going to war in Iraq. 39% thought he had misled them unwittingly. That is to say that he was fooled by George W., while 27% said he had done so on purpose. Big problems for Tony Blair. Is it coming to the United States, too? Big problems for George W.? Time will tell. Woody in Texas has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the program, Woody.
Hey, Tom. Hey,
How you doing?
Real quick as an aside, the guy called about the people calling Sean Hannity, Limbaugh and Hannity are aware of those people. They call them program callers. You know, they get the talking points from the Dems, and they just call up and try to wreak havoc on the program. Sometimes they do let them in just for grins, but they know who they are. They know what that's about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's not why I called. I called because something you said earlier kind of struck me funny. We were talking about the intelligence service and how, you know, gee, we got these guys and they should be doing a better job, but you know, it strikes me funny because you are such an avid fan buff of history, and yet you seem to have forgotten that it was the Church Commission under the Clinton administration that completely gutted our intelligence services. And, you know, GW's only been in office a couple of years. He carries a briefcase, not a magic wand. It's not like he could have just rebuilt all those intelligence networks and spy rings and everything we had going at one time in just 2 years. It just doesn't work like that. Don't you think it's a little unfair to rag on the current intelligence services given what the Clinton administration did to the CIA and NSA and other intelligence gathering groups here in this country?
No, not at all. And I'm not ragging on the intelligence services. I have a lot of respect for our intelligence services. I know people in our intelligence services. I think that they're doing a very good job, and I think that they... I don't see them as crippled or disabled, and I don't think that they see themselves as crippled or disabled. And that's not the main charge that's being made by people who are in a position to know, senators on the Intelligence Committee, for example. They're suggesting instead that the Intelligence Service was saying all along to George W. Bush, we really don't have any evidence that this guy has weapons of mass destruction. We've had almost 300 weapons inspectors on the ground in there for months. They've been looking all over these places. They've been checking out these. They haven't found anything. Our satellite stuff shows maybe a couple of trucks. We don't know what that means. We don't think that the only thing that was pumping up the idea that they had to go in after Saddam were the exiles, were Chalabi and his buddies, and they all had multi-million dollar upsides to this thing. So.
Well, what we say in the UFO community is absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. You know, I heard the argument consistently, oh, just give the inspectors a little more time. No, we could have given them a lifetime and they wouldn't have found anything. They only had 100 guys over there. We have 100,000 guys over there and we haven't found it yet. But look what we're looking for. We're looking for 500 liters of sarin gas. I could put 500 liters of sarin gas in the back of my pickup truck. We're talking about a country the size of California, you know. The fact that we haven't found it doesn't surprise me. What would surprise me is if we had found it in 90 days, you know?
No, I think you're missing the point, Woody. The point was that we weren't trying to say, no, you can't have this. I mean, yes, we were saying, no, you can't have this stuff. But the point of our foreign policy, because there's countries all over the world that have sarin gas, the point of our foreign policy is to prevent them from using it. And as long as those inspectors were there, there was no way that they were using that stuff.
Well,
there was no way.
One of those 2-liter bottles of sarin gas got off in the New York City subway, and I think that is the real concern. I don't think anybody was really concerned that they were going to launch a nuke at us tomorrow. I think that the concern was if they got that across the Canadian border, which you and I both know is as porous as Swiss cheese, and came in the country, they could do a lot of damage. And then that's,
and you think that Iraq is
hitting military targets.
And you think Iraq is the country that it was is the greatest threat to the United States? I mean, here we've got North Korea saying today that they've extracted enough plutonium to make a half a dozen nuclear bombs.
That's just, they're just desperate. You know, I'm not worried about the North Koreans because the Chinese will keep them in line. That's their client state. And the Chinese desperately
Didn't you think Israel would keep Iraq in line?
Can who keep Iraq in line?
Israel?
I mean, Israel blew up their nuclear power plant, and Saddam did try and do nuclear stuff.
I may be breaking up with you. I don't know if I heard you.
Okay, I said, you know, Israel blew up their nuclear power plant when Saddam did try to do some nuclear stuff. Israel took him out, and of course,
well,
all of Europe.
Well, a long time ago, for all we know, for all we could have known, I mean, he was the tunnel rat, the king of tunnels. We don't know what he's got underground. We probably still haven't found all the underground facilities.
Yeah, I hear you, Woody, and I think that in a way, perhaps we're it's like preaching different religions, you know. And I'll respect your point of view, and you may or may not respect mine, but I just don't think that there was from everything that I've seen and read, I'm not convinced that there was enough threat that we should allow 200 of our soldiers to die, over 1,000 of them to be injured, and pay the price. That has been, yeah, I mean, we've spent more money than we've spent twice as much money as we spent on education in the entire nation over there. It just doesn't seem worth it to me. Thanks for the call, though. I appreciate
it. One thing, and I'll let you get off the phone here. As far as, okay. I know that you keep talking about the soldiers dying. I understand that. You know, that's what soldiers do. They fight and die. Every one of them understood the risk when they took the oath. The only person that I don't hear complaining about it is the soldiers, you know. I think personally we need to be concerned about the soldiers and we need to be concerned about their families, but that's what they do. That's their job, and they know their job, and they understand the risk, and let's just be thankful that they're there doing their job for the country.
I agree, and I would say that our soldiers, if we're going to put them in harm's way, we have a moral obligation to them. To make sure that we are, and I think that they understand this of us. They are trusting, when some 17-year-old kid joins the Army, they're trusting our government to not do something really stupid, to not put them in harm's way unless there's really a just cause. If there's an imminent threat to the United States of America, yes, they are willing to go out there and fight and die for this country. But to fight and die for the profits of ExxonMobil or Halliburton Corporation, I don't think that's what they signed up for. Woody, thanks for the call, though. Roger, 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. Roger in Nevada. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I like your program what you have today about empires, you know. And my comments I'd like to get to, I think empires do last, but we have to go back to the New World Order crowd. I think they're going to change this all around to the New World Empire. I think they're using Bush as an instrument to usher this in.
Whose empire is it?
I think it's underneath the United Nations. And the United Nations is trying to usher this in underneath a new plan to use Bush as an instrument to go against Iraq.
Yeah, but doesn't it seem that Bush and the neocons are doing everything they can to cut out, you know, to knock out the knees of the United Nations? I mean, it's.
I think they're trying their best, but they're having a hard time doing it. Of course, the UN's on our shores. They're in New York City. And what they want to do is they want to basically destroy the sovereignty of this country, usher in their own empire. And they would keep on doing their empire underneath the United Nations. That's why I think.
But who's the they?
Okay, be the elitist, the rich, the minority, the corporations.
Isn't that who's running this country right now?
Yeah, and also around the whole
world. Okay, then they've already won.
Yeah, they already won. And there's also more of them around the world, too. Like George Soros, he also has lots of money, too.
Sure. Okay, well, interesting point, Roger. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. North Korea says it has materials for atom bombs. In today's New York Times, last week they had finished producing enough plutonium to create a half dozen nuclear bombs and that they intended to move ahead quickly to turn the material into weapons. We sent our spy planes over there, sampled the air, and found, I guess it's krypton gas, the evidence of this happening. 1-800-TALK-YES, Stan in Birmingham on Empires. Welcome, Stan.
Yes, good afternoon, Tom.
How are you?
Doing pretty good, and I appreciate all the good work that you continue to put out.
Well, thank you.
You were discussing empire today. I just wanted to point out that the real reason that Thomas Jefferson was so heavy into promoting states' rights was because he had the hope that small business would continue to dominate the central government of the country and not big business.
Oh, absolutely. He was outspoken about that.
Yeah, and Madison and Franklin more or less signed on to the same process or doctrine.
Yeah, Madison, Franklin, and Jefferson were the main advocates of what we would call democracy, small d democracy, and Hamilton and Adams were the main advocates of something closer to oligarchy. In fact,
yeah, they
Hamilton,
were Federalists. They were selling out from the very beginning. Alexander Hamilton was involved in the first big insider trader scam that ripped off the Revolutionary soldiers.
Right.
But we're looking at a situation now where this old question of whether small business will survive over the next generation is a very pertinent question. The lower 60% of small businesses in this country have been clobbered by the 23 years of the Reagan Revolution because they're part of the same lower 70% of Americans who have fallen behind. And 60 to 80% of our small businesses in this country, the owners are not really part of the country club network.
Right. Speaking as the owner of several small businesses over the years, I agree.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Now, I appreciate you allowing me this little bit of time today. I want to get off now, but hopefully in the near future, you might allow me to present the 12 major reasons why small business could go through a complete demise in this country well within the next generation. It's too lengthy today, and I don't want to take up too much time, but perhaps at a later date.
Sounds interesting.
I do appreciate the time you've given me, and I'll be back in touch.
Thank you, Stan. And you might want to post that to our website. We've got a message board on there where you can post a relatively permanent message, or you could drop into the chat room and post it. And that way, I can just print it out and I could refer to pieces of it as time goes on, if you'd like. I'd be curious to see it. I don't think that reading something long on the air probably works very well, but we'll try it out. 1-800-TALK. Yes, 1-800-825-5937. It's 15 minutes before the hour. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. And Jail from Augusta, Georgia, is on the line. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. My name is Jail, G-A-I-L. I'm calling in reference to that last guy that just said when a soldier joined the army, it's his duty to die. But I did 23 years in the army. I'm retired 2 times in Vietnam. And I joined the army to defend this country with good leadership. But sending them soldiers off to die for no reason other than to make money for some of your friends, I don't think there's not one soldier out there that joined the military for that reason.
I agree.
And being a soldier, when you talk to a soldier, you will never find a soldier that will get on TV or talk to anybody openly and complain, because that would be going against your commander. And we would never do that. We may not believe it in our heart, but we have to lead those up under us, and we would support that commander, even though we don't believe it in our heart.
I agree, and I appreciate your service to our country. I want to thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
Was that it? Jail? Major point?
I wanted to call and say that because I would listen to him directly. But one thing that makes me madder than anything that I think I've seen that what Bush has done is when he put that combat uniform on and landed on that boat. When I was in Vietnam, he was over there being trained on an airplane that couldn't go to combat. And he's going to get on TV a couple of weeks ago and tell them, bring it on. Those are boys' lives he's playing with over there. You know, Bring It On was a movie on TV about cheerleaders. You know, that was fun.
He was a cheerleader, you know, in prep school. His extracurricular activity for the last 2 years of high school was that he was the head cheerleader for Andover Academy.
Okay, well, I don't know if you saw the movie, but that's what it was about. Bring It On is a movie about cheerleaders.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
And he is playing with people's lives thinking it's a game. And that really made me mad for him to land on that airplane, which he didn't land it. He was flying and he was getting a ride in that airplane. But the newspaper's giving him credit for landing that airplane. And he's going to put on a combat uniform. When he had the opportunity to come over there with me in Vietnam, his dad had him getting out in the reserve.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm there with you, Jill. And thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Spot on. Well said. 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. Barbara in Ohio is on the line. Barbara, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Oh, hi, Tom. I just wanted to correct something. Someone, one of your callers, I didn't catch his name, but he was saying how there are 500 liters of something he could put on his truck. Well,
sarin, yeah.
It's not 500 liters, it's 500 tons. Because I was thinking very hard about this, the amounts that Bush said in his State of the Union address, and I was thinking how many trucks would it take to take this amount out of the country?
Oh, so Bush didn't say 500 liters, he said 500 tons.
Correct, of sarin, uh-huh. mustard, or VX.
I actually have that quote here on the computer. I can't dig it out now, but yeah, okay.
And it's also 25,000 liters of anthrax, 38,000 liters of botulinum toxin. So it's a lot more than that guy was saying. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost become it's like sports. You know, it's my team versus your team, or the, politics,
yeah.
or religion. It's dueling belief systems, and
yeah.
it's just amazing to me how little flexibility there is in that. And I'm certain that I'm a victim of it, or a proponent of it, or whatever, mm-hmm. just as much as anybody else. I mean, I've got my point of view, and it's going to take an awful lot to change it.
Right.
But it's just amazing. Barbara, thank you for the
sure.
call, and thanks for setting the record straight.
Oh,
I appreciate that very much.
Okay,
thank
bye.
You. And war costs could reach $100 billion today in today's newspaper. We're up 74% to the 2008 budget, 74% increase from the 1996 budget, from $265 billion to $460 billion for defense. What is going on? You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Mom, see you later.
Jason, who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home...
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
Let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25. Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We
are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkopf.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tons of chemical agents, including mustard gas, sarin nerve gas.
Thousands of tons.
DX nerve gas.
Thousands of tons. I knew that quote was floating around there somewhere, and I want to thank you again. I think it was Barbara for calling and setting us straight on that, and amazing stuff. Well, 1-800-TALK-YES is the number. We're wrapping up the show here. The Pentagon planners failed to develop detailed plans for post-war Iraq because they were convinced, this from the Mideast AFP news service, they were convinced Iraqis would welcome U.S. troops and that a hand-picked exile leader would replace Saddam Hussein and impose order. I've seen actually reports that suggested that the people who planned this war figured that we wouldn't be there more than 90 days after the war. The Chalabi would just roll into town and everybody would go, oh, how wonderful this guy, even though he was indicted for bank fraud and he was, he's a criminal and he hasn't lived in the country for 40 years, we're so happy to have him here, this multimillionaire guy. But no, it hasn't quite worked out that way. And no real planning for post-war Iraq. This may go down in history as one of the great fumbles, dropping the ball. In Canada, I mean, it's interesting. I live in Vermont, and we can get Canadian television on the local cable channel. I'm assuming most of America can't get CBC. And watching CBC News is fascinating. It's sort of like watching BBC. Here's the straight story, and it's unvarnished. They're not terrified that somebody's going to call them liberal or conservative for saying something. And so they just got to lay it out there. U.S. President George W. Bush is the most unpopular president in recent memory among Canadians. This story from UPI, more than 60% surveyed have an unfavorable opinion of him. That's the lowest that it's ever, ever been. So maybe things will change in 2004. Maybe Hillary will jump into the race. Maybe not. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting time. We've got an interesting couple of years here. Thanks for joining us on the Tom Hartman program, Uncommon Sense in the Radical Middle. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.